Amen. Good morning, Ottawa Church of Christ. Amen. Awesome. Giving free iPhone to the preacher. I love that. Thank you very much. Just kidding. You can collect that later up there. Hopefully it won't ring. Amen. I bring you greetings from the awesome Hamilton Church of Christ, who loves you guys and is praying for you guys and is excited to share in this faith journey with you. Even though we don't get together and hang out a lot, I'm hoping that we can have more of a connection in the future. And that's why when Danny said, you know, Howard and Karen are taking a sabbatical, we'd like, you know, anybody who feels like it's on their heart, they want to go down and encourage the Ottawa Church, feel free. And I said, hey, I know some people in Ottawa. I'll go down there. And my wife and I love coming here. Sometimes when we come here, it's a trip where we've gone to Montreal and we're kind of coming across to Ottawa and going back. So it's a place we've been many times. And, we've got some friends here, Rob and Danielle Groves. Rob and I were roommates back in the day. And I see some of my old downtown people there, Donna and Tiana. Thank you so much, guys. It is so good to see you guys. And, yeah, amen. Seriously, eh? Old times back in Toronto. Come on. Well, you know, old times, amen. We've all had some old times, and we've got some times ahead of us, don't we? With the Lord, you know, we're looking forward to some good things happening. And I don't know where your life or your faith is at right now, but my goal today is to read some scriptures to you. To challenge you to look at your life with eyes of faith, whatever may be going on right now, and to share with you some of the things that God has been doing in my life, and in the church that I'm part of as well, that will hopefully encourage you guys. You know, one piece of good news you may have seen, I don't know, on Facebook or wherever, is that, Kaylin Brisebois, the son of Danny and Jillian, was baptized yesterday in Christ, down in the waters of Lake Ontario. So that's very encouraging to see teens becoming disciples and committing their life to Christ. You know, it's so important as we go on our journey in this life that we stop and check ourselves up in terms of our faith and our trust in God. And that's what I really want to speak to you guys about today is you know, where is your trust in the Lord at? I want to really take a moment here, though, before we get into the message, just to thank my wife. Honey, can you stand up for a second? Just stand. This is not her. There, give her a hand, folks. Lilani Campbell. My amazing supporter, best friend, beautiful wife of 12-plus years now. She's put up with me for this long and continues to help me. Even this morning, you know, I said, oh, honey, I'm going to need water. I know we had a water bottle in the car, and she ran out and got my water bottle for me. And then I looked, and I was like, my computer was running out of power, and I realized I didn't have my cord with me. I was like, honey, you know, the cord is in the car. Can you, like, go please? So she ran back to the car twice today to get stuff for me just so that I could have it together this morning. So I really appreciate her so much. Great insight. You know, any man who is been married for any length of time hopefully learns the lesson that listening to your wife is a good idea, because God gave you your wife to help you, not to hurt you. Bible says whoever finds a wife finds what is good. So when our wives, you know, have some ideas to share with us, those are good things, you know, that we should listen to. And I've been very blessed to listen to my wife sometimes, and very not blessed to not listen to her sometimes. So trusting in God is our theme. In Jeremiah 17, verse 5, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, and its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? You know, this scripture, as Jeremiah spoke from God, he reminds us of what a faithful person looks like and what an unfaithful person looks like. And we understand this picture. We see it also, the same kind of picture in Psalm 1 of the tree that has the roots going out by the stream. You know, the tree didn't say, "Hey, there's no stream by where I am, people. Can you get some irrigation going on here and please water me?" It sent out its roots and got its own water so that its leaves were always green and that it never failed to bear fruit. You know, we think about this kind of, you know, let's just measure ourselves in terms of the way we've lived in our life last year, last 2 years, last 5 years. You know, are we the kind of Christian that when people see us, man, they're like, that guy or that lady is always the green, leaves are green. Attitude is positive, faithful, never failing to bear fruit, coming with a good attitude, got something to share, got some conviction on your heart, ready to serve, looking for needs. That's one picture. To me, that's what leaves green, you know, root out, like, is the disciple who gets what they need from God and shows up with something to give. Faithful. Amen. We know what that looks like. We've all been on that side at some point in our Christian walk. We've also all, I think, at some point in our Christian walk, been on that other side, dwelling like a bush in the wasteland, not seeing prosperity when it's right in front of us, not being grateful for what God gave us, and just focused on all the problems of life. Haven't we all been there at one point or another in our faith journey? You know, God's plan for us is to have always green leaves, always bearing fruit. And what is the reason why we don't do that sometimes? I believe if we trust the scriptures here, it's because we do not trust in God. We start to think, God, I don't really know if you got my back here. I know you look at Jesus died for me, all that. Yeah. Like, yeah, God gave up his son for you, but he's not going to look after this other thing in your life. We believe in the cross. Amen. God, forgive all my sins, but you're probably not going to take care of, you know, my bank account or my health thing that I got going on or my marriage thing that I'm struggling with right now. And if the case is that we're struggling in one of those areas, or pick another area, parenting, could be children, what's going on. Where is your trust been placed today? Are you feeling the bush in the wasteland? Or are you feeling the fresh green leaves? Because God wants you to be like that tree with a green leaf coming up fresh. Do your circumstances in your life right at this particular moment look hopeful, or do they look daunting? It doesn't really matter, you know, if they are, you know, it's easy street and things are going well. That's nice if it is. We all prefer that. But it doesn't matter which is the case. Even when things look dire, like this is not going to work out, there is a reason for what God is doing. And when you have God on your side, there is no reason in any way that things will not work out for your blessing and your benefit. There's no reason to think that. There's no reason to think that because you might be facing a moment of adversity and trouble right now at this moment, that God is not going to get you through it. And I'll tell you what, that doesn't always mean I'm going to have the outcome that I pictured. The story of my life will be the narrative that I wrote in my mind about what my life will look like. We write ourselves these little scripts. My life's going to look like this. I'm going to do this, then this, then this, then this. You know, marriage, awesome job, kids, go on vacation, retirement, death. Serve Jesus on the way. Amen. You know, it's not always like that script. Because God hardly ever liked that script. Yeah. It's like the further we go, the more we realize, yeah, that script is like, just, where is that script? I'm so far away from that script now, I don't even know where I left it. But when you're trusting God, the beauty of it is that you can bear fruit in any circumstance. How could Paul and Silas, when they were thrown into prison in Philippi, beaten with rods, be in prison singing psalms and hymns, when all the other prisoners are listening to them? How could they do that? Their situation was awful. Your journey's over, buddy. Your missionary journey's done. We're going to beat you and throw you in prison. In a Roman prison. I mean, like, prison would be bad enough on its own, but I can't imagine, you know, prison system 2,000 years ago. Probably not very nice, crowded, smelly, bucket in the corner. You know, just not a nice place to be. Put in the stocks. And they're singing praises to God. You know, our faith will be seen not by how we're on the mountaintop when times are good, but by how we're rejoicing in the Lord when times are not good. You know, we gotta see where is our faith really at. Times are not always gonna be good. You know, I don't know if somebody told you that when you were studying the Bible, that if you become a Christian, man, your life will be good all the way through, and it's gonna be awesome. You know, that is not the life that God promised us. But the things that He did promise us are so amazing, above and beyond that so-called, you know, perfect life that we write the script of wanting to see. It's better than that. It's the ability to have what Paul talks about, the peace that passes understanding. When you're trusting in yourself, you don't see what God is doing. You're like, I just got to get out of the situation, instead of praising God in the situation. When you're trusting God, you are bringing forth fruit, joy. So how faithful are you being? You know, we don't usually stop trusting God all at once. We make a shift. We get hurt. We get disappointed. And we slowly, quietly lose our trust in God by degrees sometimes. As we cool off and become lukewarm, as we shift from believing that God's got the best for us to not being sure if God's got our best interest in mind, or not even thinking that God is even thinking about us anymore. We think, you know, things are just, yeah. You know, you ever been there? You're like, going to work, you know, gotta get out the door, gotta get the pen, I don't have time to think about anything. Just gotta put one foot in front of the other. We can get there. I've been there. In my life, I tell you. You know, I just celebrated the 25th anniversary of my baptism 25 years ago. Amen, Vancouver. And I would love to be able to say, I've been a disciple for 25 years. But the truth is, I don't feel like I was a disciple all those 25 years. So I don't say that, you know? I'd be like, yeah, you know, my butt was in the seat for 25 years, but truth be told, I wasn't doing much disciple stuff for a good number of those years in more recent years, because my eyes got off of God and it got to solve my own problems. Let me encourage you. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, you know, this is in the law, but God's talking to His people about what's ahead for them. Deuteronomy 11, verse 10, it says, the land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden, but the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and olive oil, and I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. You know, God said, guys, what you knew in the past is not like what I've got for you in the future. And what they had in the past was enslavement. But didn't, you know, as the Israelites, as they went out of Egypt, didn't they get to the point in the desert during those desert years in between where they look back and said, you know, that actually wasn't that bad. That slavery thing that we cried out for years, for 400 years to get out of, actually was, you know, at least we had food. Because they got to a point, many times, where God tested their faith and said, you know what, I'm going to give you good stuff, but I'm not going to give it to you yet. And they were like, well, you know, maybe that Moses guy doesn't know what he's doing. Maybe we should go back there. And they started to really doubt. But God said, you know, when you go into this new place, I've got a new place for you to go. And it's going to be a place where I've got real blessings for you. But what I need you to do is trust me. What I need you to do is believe. You know, we see this even fulfilled in Mark chapter 6. Let's go over there. Mark chapter 6, the apostles gathered around, in verse 30, it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. I love that scripture. Jesus taking his disciples saying, guys, you've been working hard. You need to come and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, probably thinking, man, we've been working so hard that we're going to go on this boat trip. It's going to be awesome. We're going to go to the little mountain there and hang out with Jesus. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. You know, they've been working hard for Jesus. And that by this point, not just Jesus being recognized, it's his disciples were being recognized. He said, that's the disciples of Jesus who can heal and do miracles and do all kinds of stuff. Let's go. You know, and they grabbed their people and they all ran around and they, you know, these guys thought they're having a retreat. They get to the other side of the lake and there's that, you know, crowd saying, hey, disciples, you know. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began to teach them many things. You know, one of the biggest things that makes us struggle is just when we expected one thing and got another. You know, these guys that would expected time off with Jesus. We're going to get some downtime just together, alone, you know, with the brothers hanging out. It's going to be awesome. Men's retreat in the wilderness, you know? Like, I would be fired up if I was those guys. And I would not be fired up if I got there and Jesus said, oh, you know that retreat we're having? Sorry, that's off. We're doing like a big Bible Jubilee seminar and he taught them many things. I'd be like, man, like, can we not schedule another time for this thing? You know, that's just me. I would be struggling with it. And by this time, it was late in the day, says the Bible, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said. It's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and buy themselves something to eat. You know, sometimes when you're maybe feeling a little selfish, you're going to package it up, make it look like, we're concerned about these people, Jesus. They're not going to have food to eat. You better send them away, you know, so they can get something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. And they're like, well, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? You know, it says they said, I'm always wondering, like, which guy was it that, like, you know, the mathematician's like, that would take about half a year. Like, you know, that we can't, you know, looking at the facts of the matter, somebody's all focused on the facts. Hey, you know, Jesus, like half a year's wages, we calculate it based on the size of this crowd and the amount of food it would take. And if we go and purchase food, like, you know, how much money do we have in the bank? Like, looking at all the realities, and I love the, you know, administrative accounting types in the church. We need those guys. Awesome. We'd be lost without them. But sometimes it's not about putting your eyes on the facts as they are in front of you, the facts as you have them. Sometimes it's about what can we do? What can I do? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said five, two fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to all the to his disciples to distribute to the people. And he also divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of men who had eaten was 5,000. You know, sometimes when things are not going the way you want and you're not getting what you want, you're not getting what you expected, it's because God has great something else that's even better for you. You know, these guys thought they were getting the brothers' retreat, you know, in the wilderness, away from the crowds, which would have been awesome, I'm sure. And I'm sure they had that at other times. But what they got to see was a miracle of God. What they got to learn was how to trust in God. What they got to see was the ability to be able to face a situation where they're like, there is no human possible way out of this problem that we're stuck with right now. And Jesus is like, amen, now we can get started. You know, God loves us sometimes to be in a situation where there is just no answer. You ever been stuck on something? You know, a sin that you're trying to change? Man, have I been stuck sometimes. Man, am I stuck sometimes? You know, in our marriage, we've had like, to be honest, we've had like a rocky road working stuff out. My wife's a strong personality. I'm a strong personality. We both bring strong opinions. And sometimes, you know, we mix it up a little bit. But we've had to fight to overcome ourselves. We've had to fight to trust each other, to believe in each other. We're still fighting that battle. You can pray for us. We are still fighting to build the family that God wants us to have. You know, and but God put us in a situation where it's like, if it was just us on our own, we would have been gone so long ago. Like, too much pain, too much hardship, too many challenges, just too much, you know? Like, I'm out of here. If I wasn't a Christian, sorry, I just can't take this. Bye-bye. Like, I would have walked. And my wife the same. She said, enough of your nonsense, buddy. I'm out of here. Bye. And, you know, it is only by the grace of God that we still have a marriage, that our family's still together. That's awesome. Because God keeps families together. He wants to build families. But you know what? I believe that God doesn't just want us to, well, we survived. We're still here. I don't think God just wants you to be like, well, you know, I persevered as a disciple and I didn't fall away. I'm still coming to church every Sunday. That is like the bottom rung of what God wants for you. He wants much more for your life. But he's willing to disrupt your expectations and to flip your script, as they say, along the way, right? You might have that script, but don't hang on to it too tight, because God's got better script, amen? But sometimes that better script, it takes some hardship, some challenges along the way. But, you know, we look at what God said back in Deuteronomy, and he said, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it to you. He's like, he said, I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Where did they sit down to eat that food with Jesus? Sit down in the grassy places, you know? True, they were in a land of where there was a grass. And they ate and they were satisfied, even though it looked like on paper nobody had enough food to feed this crowd. Calculations didn't work out. The math didn't add up. It wasn't going to be working out. And it looked pretty bad, but actually, didn't what God say happen? What God said would happen, happened. But for a couple minutes before it happened, it didn't look like it was going to happen. And that's the challenge of faith, isn't it? Like, sometimes we get to the point where, like, all this stuff you said you're going to do with my life, God, like, blessings and that, like, I'm not seeing it here, Lord, frankly. Like, haven't you had those discussions with God? Like, you said, and I'm like, you know. And hey, you know what? God can take that. You can have that conversation with God. God, you said, and I'm not seeing, so I'm waiting. What's going on? Hopefully try and stay humble with that. You know, I've prayed some pretty scary prayers where, like, you know, am I going to get struck dead after that prayer? What's going on? But I've seen God is faithful. We look at this situation though. You know what Jesus was going through? This situation where these people were fed. John the Baptist, his cousin, had just been killed. So he was at a time of personal anguish and sorrow. And he got outward focused. Long day for him, long day for the disciples, demanding crowds coming around, not enough food. A lot of reasons to be discouraged. And we miss one little thing in the scripture. In verse 41 it says, taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. He gave thanks to God. We kind of blow past that like, Jesus said grace and they all ate, it was good, you know. Thank you God for the food, amen, let's eat. We can skip past that and not understand that because of his faith, Jesus was able to look at the situation and say, thank you God for everything that's going on right now. And that's hard, you know, when the thing that you don't want to happen happens. To be able to say, thank you God for what I do have in this situation. And that's the shift you gotta make from, why is this happening God? To, thank you God that though this situation is painful and difficult and I don't understand it, that you must have something greater that you're doing here. You know, when we stop trusting God, we pull back, we make decisions that are not faithful. About 10 years ago now, I made a decision in my life for my family that in hindsight, for me, I look back and I say, that was not a faithful decision. When my wife and I were first married, we moved to Burlington and we were members of the Hamilton Church. And I'll say the Hamilton Church of 10 years ago is not the same church that it is today. I mean, 10 years ago, all of us who were here were in a time of deep reflection, some pain, and really trying to understand what is God's plan going forward. And a lot of my friends had moved up to the town of Newmarket, north of Toronto, and some of my friends up there said, come on, be with us, you know, be up here. And things weren't, you know, they were kind of flat in Hamilton, so I was like, yeah, sounds good. So I picked up my family, you know, and I sort of got some advice, and I sort of put out a fleece, and I kind of half got answered, and I kind of sort of did my own thing is what I did. You know, had a bit of seeking God's will sort of in there, but not really. When I look back, you know, I thought, oh, I'll do better. You know, old friends there, you got to be with people who can support you spiritually. And it kind of made sense on paper. You know, there's guys that I'm close to, so it's going to be good for me spiritually. But at the end of the day, it wasn't about this place or that place. It was about, am I trusting God's plan for my life? For me. Now, I am very blessed and was blessed during my time in Newmarket by the disciples that are out there. There are some great disciples. But over time it became clear. God made it clear to me through things we went through in our marriage, through things we went through in our family, that where should we be? It was where we were originally. And it's too long of a story to get into, but we decided to start going back to church in Hamilton, and we did. And it was good. It was a blessing to us. And then we said, okay, let's just move back. So we went on a big wandering journey to end up back right where we started because that was where God wanted us. All I can say is my conviction after that journey, like you can burn up a lot of miles on a journey when you're not trusting God. And God's awesome. You know, God will not leave you and abandon you even when you're wandering. He's still chasing. He's like, I'm with you there. You're being a knucklehead, but I'm still with you. And, you know, my conviction now is I don't care where I am as long as it's the place where God wants me to be. You know, I don't care. Please, Lord, let it not be Saskatchewan. Amen. Just kidding. I have probably just locked in my future, you know, for Saskatchewan. No joke. I lived in Vancouver, guys. I lived in Vancouver. And I used to go, Hamilton? Who'd want to live in Hamilton? Ha ha. God said, apparently you do, son. You're going. But you know what? It wasn't a place that I understood or knew anything about, and I love it. We're in Hamilton. Man, what a great city. What an awesome blue-collar, no-nonsense, people just friendly, telling you like it is, and not trying to pretend. Hamilton knows it's Hamilton. It's not trying to pretend it's something else. It's not trying to be New York City or something like that. It's awesome, man. People are just real. They're down to earth. They're caring. If you want to find somebody to like fix your car or your plumbing or like your gas connection, like you got them there, man. And that's it. It's a great city and it is a great church, a great family. Cause you know, God has blessed us. You know, that's a little bit about my journey is that I didn't know anything about what was best for me, but God did. And even when I made decisions that weren't faithful, you know, God brought me back. And now he just convinced me that the place that I have for you is where you're going to be blessed, you know? And so rejoice. Okay. So so we look at Jesus, just being thankful in the challenging times, being thankful in the challenging situations. Two last points I want to go over really, really quickly. Back to our theme scripture of Deuteronomy 11. In Deuteronomy 11, in verse 16, it says, "Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and then he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you." If there's sin in your life, if there's idols in your life, they must be addressed. Why were the people tempted? You know, why were the Israelites tempted to trust in the idols of the land? They went in and conquered that land. Their God was the victorious God, and the idols of the people of that land were the ones that, the loser gods, basically. They didn't win. Their people didn't win. So why would the Israelites be attracted to these other gods when it was their God who'd given them the victory? It doesn't even make sense. Except when you think about the fact that those gods could be controlled and manipulated. You know, you do this sacrifice, you're going to get the crops. Do this, get that. That's a pagan superstition religion. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do this action, and then you're going to give me that thing. That's how they believed in the land. You know, we're going to do this sacrifice. We're going to get these crops coming back in return. And God says, no, I'm not like that. You're not giving me stuff, and I'm giving you something back. It's not like, you know, we treat God like, you know, pop machine. Like, what happens? You get a pop machine, put in your, like, $1.75 or whatever it is now. What do you do when that machine doesn't, When the thing doesn't come out, you put your $2 in, bam, you start putting the boots to it, right? You're like, deliver! Get manna! We treat God like the celestial, you know, vending machine in the sky, you know. I put my prayers in, I didn't get my thing out. You know, like, we get angry. It's foolishness. God says, you know what? The whole point is that you get me. It's not about what I give to you. It's not about the nice stuff. I'm not a vending machine to deliver things for you. You know, and God warned them, the Israelites. He says, you're going to be enticed. You know, you're going to be enticed to worship these other gods. And in our Christian journey, we're going to be enticed to think, God's not delivering everything that I expected of him. Therefore, let me go and do X, Y, Z, whatever your sin is or whatever direction you walk in when you're not trusting God. We've all got different ways that we walk away from God. But how can you be like Paul and Silas, you know, singing songs in that prison? How can you be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who when faced with the fiery furnace basically said, we want you to know that our God can rescue us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to worship that idol over there. Even if God doesn't rescue us, we're going to still worship him because that's who we are. That's what we do. That's what we're about. And then we saw a great deliverance with those guys. Not because the script worked out the way that, you know, if the script worked out the way that we would like it to work out, they'd be like, don't throw us in that fire or else psh, 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 lightning. I told you, don't throw me in the fire. No, God let them go in the fire and then brought them out of it. And the fourth guy in the fire, Jesus or God or whoever that was, amen, you know, something even more awesome that we didn't expect, right? But if we wrote that script, it would be like, just let me end it right here. You know, things can look pretty bad on paper, but God has something better planned. You got to embrace what God brings to you in your life, even the challenging things. He didn't forget about you. He didn't stop loving you. This is the exact thing he brought you to. Last point is devote yourself to God. So back to Deuteronomy 11 and verse 18, it says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that heavens are above the earth. We understood that God was to be loved with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength when we began our journey as disciples. But a lot of times we get to the point where we're just putting in time and maybe even not that much time. Times where we maybe think about God for a couple minutes in the morning, but we're not talking about him as we drive down the street. We're not talking about him as we tuck our children into bed. We're not talking about God as we get up, as we wake up in the morning and roll out of bed and onto your knees and saying, God, I don't have what it takes to get through this day, but you have what it takes to help me be what I need to be in this day. And begging God on your knees every morning because you know who you are as a sinner and that you can't do it without God. But a lot of days when we're not walking by faith, we can just go walking into that day. No armor, no faith, no shield, no nothing. Just stumbling, drifting, floating. I believe we need a major return to God in our hearts, in our walk, so much so that it comes out of our mouth. So much so that we won't have to think about, I should be talking to my children and writing it on my doorframe. If it's in your heart to the degree that it should be, it'll come out of your mouth when you speak to your children. This is not a checklist of tasks that you do. It's who you are in your walk with faith. And if that doesn't sound like what your life looks like right now, then your life is not the way God wants it to be. Overflowing with faith in your heart. Where do you get that faith? From the Word. From being with God. You cannot remain the same when you spend time with God. You will be transformed because that's who God is. He will transform you. You will be changed. You don't need to strive to become something. God will make you something. It's not about trying harder or working harder or doing more stuff. You do less stuff and spend more time with God and stuff will get done. Spend less time crunching those numbers. We don't have enough money to feed all the fish to the people, God. And get on your knees and pray. What do you have for me in this life? I've been blessed and I've needed people in my life to bless me. I've needed mentors in so many areas where I have just had gone to God and said, God, I need somebody to help me get better at managing my finances. Please send me some people. I need help in my marriage. Please send me some people. I need help building my faith. Please send me some people. Send me the mentors. You know, when you ask for that kind of help, God will send it to you. God will bless you. I'm sure that Mike and his family being up here in Ottawa, have no doubt that this brother and his family were sent to bless the Ottawa church with their faith. I have no doubt. God is doing things because God looked at you guys and they said, they need something. These guys need something. Let me send Mike Richards and his family to bring some faith up there. And you know what? Those guys also need something from you guys as well. God wouldn't have brought them here as a one-way exchange, you know? You got to build this family up and pull them in and embrace them. You've got to do that. We've got to build each other up. Isn't that what the Bible talks about? Build the temple of the Lord growing together as each part does its work. But how can you be doing your work if you're not trusting in God? If you're not walking with God? If you're the the dry leaf, or the person, the tree that's not, doesn't have the long roots going to the stream. You know, that tree, as we go back to that image, it grew its own root out there. It drank deep from the stream of God, and its leaf was green. It didn't say, it didn't, like, sometimes I get it. Sometimes I come to church with my, you know, my heart and my hands just going, help me. But more often than not, we gotta come in this door going, I got the Holy Spirit, I got the faith of Jesus, and I've been in my Bible, and I'm already just encourage somebody, because God is with me, and God is with you. And it feels great. It doesn't feel good to be that person who's always like, I've been there. I'm gonna get sick of myself sometimes being that person. You know, a couple years ago, I was like, I prayed a prayer and I said, God, you know, I don't know what you have planned for my life, but it's kind of boring right now. I've done the whole, you know, Canadian dream sort of house in the suburbs, trying to have the car and the kids and like, that's boring. I mean, I love my family, don't get me wrong, but not living for God is boring. I said, God, if you got some more plans for my life, then please bring them, because I want to do something. I don't want to, like, go shopping for a tombstone because I'm a little bit older. I want to do something with the rest of my life for you, God. And if you pray that kind of prayer, you know God is going to do that for you. You know He's going to answer that. You know He's got a plan for the rest of your life. You probably, the beginning of your life was just getting you ready for the stuff that He wants to do with the rest of your life. And the best is yet to come. God says the land ahead of you looks better than the land that's behind you. And you don't even know what it's going to be like, but you've got to trust me if you want to see that land. We had a great brother in our church named Donovan Smichael, who was taken from us with ALS in the course of less than a year, you know, for about a year from the time of his diagnosis that we actually knew that he had it to the time that he was taken from us. And that really gave us a bit of a tune-up, because he was one of our pillars, one of our senior brothers, one of the guys we looked up to. And you know, it was amazing as God even allowed his speech to be taken from him so that he couldn't walk and he couldn't talk. He ministered to us. Just by the look in his eyes, you could see his faith. It was amazing. As a church, we were pretty flat. And we had a process we had to go through. Our evangelist and one of my very best friends in the world, Ron Petter, had to step down because his health was having so many challenges. There were times when he thought he was going to die, because he looked like he was going to die. He looked like gray as a ghost and skinny as a rail. We prayed, and like Hezekiah, you know, God said, okay, some more time for this guy. We don't know how much more. Prayerfully, a lot. And we got to see him dancing with his daughter on her wedding day. But our brother Donovan's daughters were also there at that wedding, and Donovan wasn't there. And you could tell how it hit them. We've had to hold each other up through these things, and we've had to go through a process where we choose a new leader. How do you even do that? You know, in the old days, like, okay, Toronto, who are you sending to us next? You know, it's like, the new land is not the old land, let me tell you. Going forward, we ended up in a situation where we had two guys who were like best friends with each other. We had Rav Tour and Danny Brisebois. And Rav's like, hey, Danny, I'm you know, applying to go and lead the Hamilton church. And Danny, like, had a vision in his bed one night or whatever he did. And he phoned Rav. He said, Rav, do you mind if I apply for this too? So these two guys are going for the same job. And I'm like, okay, I'm like good buddies with Rav. And I don't know Danny as well, but at Jillian's, like, we're old buddies from back in Vancouver days. And we got a little committee of people together, a hiring committee. What are we going to do? And the committee, some people said, well, I think we need this. I think we need this. Other people said, well, I think we need this, that. We need this. And everybody gave their opinions. It was like a debating club. Stupid. Until we got on our knees and said, God, you know what we need. We don't even know what we're doing here. I'm like, I don't even know if this is biblical. I'm scared to, you know, even give an opinion, because I only want what God wants to happen in my life, in my church. God made it clear. He had a plan. And his plan doesn't look like, human plan. Yeah, let's take like one of the only two French-speaking evangelists in the whole country and take him out of French-speaking Canada and put him in some English city. That's so stupid, according to human wisdom. But I'll tell you, there's a revival going on in Hamilton of Faith right now because of a plan where we put it in God's hands. We said, we don't know what's best. God, you know what's best. Show us the way. And we've seen some amazing things happen. A dear brother, Phil San Victoris, and his wife, Valin, who are old friends of mine from Vancouver, moved back here a few years ago. They have three sons, two of whom had been baptized in Vancouver, but they were no longer faithful. But in the last couple of years, the youngest son, Fervin, got baptized. And then recently, the oldest son, Carl, got baptized. And then the second son, Franz, he didn't get baptized, he got restored. And then Franz, the middle son, got restored. And then Carl was married and his wife got baptized. And then her mom, Kathy, got baptized. And then her dad, Randy, got baptized. And so we see this whole family, Phil's family and the in-laws family, both coming together in the Lord in an amazing way. We've seen some incredible things happen. I've seen both of these brothers, Rav Tour and Danny Breesbaugh, who it's so awesome. They went for the same job. One guy got it, the other guy didn't, and they both just praised God and they went on with their lives. I've seen Rav's son, Samuel, get baptized. Just yesterday we had Danny's son getting baptized. And, it was funny when the Breezeboys moved to Hamilton, right then in the Caribbean, there was a, Hurricane Danny was in the Caribbean at the time. I was like, I don't know if this is a coincidence or what, or a sign from God, but since then, guys, let's just say our faith has been building. We hired them. They couldn't even come there for 3 months. So we were doing kind of what you guys are doing, just getting whoever to come and preach. And we're all just holding it together. This is really good for you guys, by the way, right now. It was good for us because you got to step up, you know. You got to step up and do stuff for the Lord. And, Danny phoned me. He said, go find two interns. I need interns from Toronto. I was kind of like administering the church at the time. So I was like, interns, okay. Hey, Toronto, who do you got for interns? And they're like, oh, we already hired all the interns, you know. So I'm like, but there's this one guy named Sal. And then there's Melina Cruz, you know, so we got Sal and Melina, and we said, okay, we're gonna put them somewhere. Where are we gonna put them? I said, church, who wants to host the interns? Like, crickets. So, okay, you guys are gonna stay with us. So they stayed at our house. And we had two interns, and we built a momentum of faith. We said, we're gonna get, by God's grace, we're gonna reestablish a campus ministry at McMaster University, which has produced some awesome disciples in the past. And we've seen awesome things happen. We've seen Lonnie and I, our oldest daughter went to teach English in Korea, and she phoned us from there and said, I want to get baptized. We're like, hey, man, let's make sure we Skype, study the Bible kind of thing. And she got baptized. Then she got married, and her husband and her went out to Vancouver Church. We're like, we don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be awesome. Anyways, they got pulled in so much by the church, by Jillian's mom. They got loved up on, and they're now part of the church of Vancouver, and we're so excited for them. We see this summer, Danny said, let's go further with internships. So now we got like 7 or 8 interns. Like literally, if there's a young person walking around with a Bible in their hand, a smile on their face, he says, hey, you want to come to Hamilton be an intern? He virtually hired an entire ministry of interns. And like, we got a couple of more staying at our house right now, and it is the most encouraging faith-building thing in the world. We got this young brother from Halifax Church staying with us right now. And to me, like, in my life, all I want to do right now, like, I took a vacation day to drive up here on Friday, because to me, this is my fun now. Being with the brothers and sisters, preaching the word, having some fun, and sharing the good things that God is doing, because, you know, I'll tell you, God is doing good things everywhere. Right close to you guys, there's an awesome brother and sister. Thomas and Jillian Nolte have stepped in to lead Kingston Church. Guys, Kingston, they need your love and encouragement. Guys, you're the big sister church for Kingston. You gotta drive down there and get time with that couple. They're awesome. We're stopping on the way home to see them. They're an amazing. When I prayed for mentors, God dropped Thomas in my life, and his example of faith convicted me so much to walk faithfully. And I see them stepping, and I see God bringing people from different places. We've got brothers from India, from Nigeria, from Germany, being brought around to the different cities around our area because God is doing amazing things. I've probably gone longer than I should have, but I wanted to share the good news of what God is doing. Thank you so much for your patience with me. I'll be glad to share more later. Leave you with one scripture. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Amen.